Welcome to Digitally Creative. I'm your host, Vincent Ferrari, and joining me this week is nobody. I know, but I can't have a guest every week. I mean, I have guests most weeks. I've done pretty good at getting guests and keeping guests and finding interesting people that you may not already know. So this week, it's just me. So what are we going to talk about? Well, I've been batting around this thought since MakerCamp, which was a week ago as of the time I'm recording this. And this year, I think, was particularly difficult for me. The first year, I wasn't really sure I wanted to go. I didn't see the value proposition. I didn't see what it would do for me. I wasn't really in the mood to schlep up there. And I ended up getting talked into it by Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concepts, whose shirt I'm wearing. Oh, I can't point on camera. It's okay. I'm wearing the shirt. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate the shirt. It's one of the few shirts I have that's not black. But I'm not here to thank Keith for the shirt, although thank you, Keith, for the shirt. I didn't want to go to Maker Camp this year. And I was worried about the emotions I was going to feel at Maker Camp this year. And it turns out I felt every single one of the emotions I was dreading feeling. Now, I should be clear about this because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. So I'm just going to put this out there at the very beginning so that nothing I say gets taken out of context. Bumping into the people I bumped into and seeing the people I saw was a highlight for me. I love seeing my friends and I love seeing them in their element at Maker Camp. And I'm not going to try to name all the people that I bumped into at Maker Camp because that would be borderline impossible. I bumped into so many people and got to spend time hanging out with so many people, and it was so much fun. That was the best part of Maker Camp for me, which doesn't surprise me because last year that was the best part of Maker Camp. And in fact, that's all I did at Maker Camp last year. I spent 8 hours mingling and socializing. And I was beyond happy with that to the point where it was all I wanted to do this year. Like, I could take classes and do the things. And I mean, it probably would have been fun. Some of the classes look incredibly fun, but I just wanted to see my friends in the end. And I did. And it was awesome. So before I go too far into the emotions that I was dreading feeling and later ended up feeling, just understand that none of it was related to having to see people because that was what I was actually looking forward to. But the feelings I was dreading, and oh, did they hit me hard at Maker Camp. It's taking me a while, actually, to kind of recover from them. And it's the feeling of, I've lost everything. Yeah. I've lost everything. I don't have my shop. For the most part, I don't have my business anymore. I don't even really consider myself much of a maker anymore. And that hurts because that was my identity. It was wrapped up in that for 6 or 7 years of my life. It was wrapped up in being a maker and being part of the maker community and, you know, being someone who didn't just talk about making, but someone who actually made stuff. There's a couple of people in this community who I, you know and at varying times have respected, do respect, or used to respect. They don't really make anything anymore. They just talk about making and the theoretical making. And that happens in every community as it grows. You get people who start out by participating in that community. And then over time, they kind of become the philosophers of the community, but don't actually do the thing that the community does. I've, in every community that I've ever been a part of, this happens. And it's happened in the maker community. And I'm sure most of you know people like this, you know. Not that we all know the same people, but there's always that one person who talks about making more than they're actually making. You know, the people who can tell you the theoretical reason why everything will work or not work, but can't really tell you a practical reason because they haven't been in their shop in 10 years. Those kinds of people. I've lost everything. That's a hard thing for me to say because I was so proud of what I had built. I was a woodworker. I was a jewelry maker. I was doing really well with woodworking and laser, all the laser stuff I was doing. And now I don't even have a place where I can set it all up. And I lost it like that. Like it's gone. Like it's just gone. There's, it's so crazy to say that out loud. And I knew that when I went to Maker Camp this year, in particular this year, I knew that I was going to feel like I don't belong there. And it isn't because the people aren't welcoming. It isn't because the people there don't love me. It isn't because I don't love the people that are there. No one there said this, implied this, or made me feel this way. But when I walked around Maker Camp and I saw different people doing different things, and a lot of it was stuff that I've done or stuff that I used to do, it really, really sucked. Like, it was painful. Like, okay, I'll give you a good example. So I saw Eric from Bumbleshoots, who was a guest on this podcast 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. No, longer than that, actually. He was, I guess, much longer ago than that. Great dude. Awesome dude. His wife is awesome. They were fantastic. Had a fun chat with them. And all I'm thinking as I'm looking at the supplies, like, I haven't needed to buy anything from Bumbleshoots for my projects since before I even moved into the shop that I was in that I just lost in August. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes I can't even talk intelligently about making things anymore because I just don't do it anymore. You know, if somebody asked me right now to make a cutting board, I can't do it. Not because I don't know how to make a cutting board. I know how to make a goddamn cutting board, and I'm probably better at it than most people. But the simple fact is I don't have a place to do it. I don't have a shop anymore. I have all my tools. Thank God Kathy's cousin is the wonderful human being that she is, and she's letting me keep my stuff on ice in her basement. But realistically, that means in the grand scheme of things, it means that everything's on ice in Debbie's basement. It means I don't have access to it. I have tried so many times to figure out a way to at least get the Glowforge onto wheels so that I can move it around the basement so that I can get it over to the one window that can open that's down there. And I can at least laser a project as I need to. It's not realistic. It's not realistic. And not only is it not realistic, but it's not realistic to the point where, you know, I get my hopes up and I'm excited about it. But then when I really think about it and the rational side of my brain, you know, the jerk face that we all have inside our head that keeps the truth at the forefront of our brains, jumps in and goes, dude, are you out of your mind? You don't have the room for that. It's right. I don't have the room for that. And even if I did set it up, what would I do? Nobody's buying anything from me. Like, what am I going to engrave? What am I going to cut? I was watching so many people doing such cool things and talking about what they're working on and the projects that they're doing and the things that are interesting them at the moment. And again, I fully am on board with going to these events and enjoying people having their moment, talking about the things they're doing. This is not a matter of me being jealous or envious. I'm happy for my friends that they get to do what they love. But there's a part of me that also feels like going to a maker event right now is like torture. It's like torture. It's like, hey, look at all the cool stuff that you not only used to do, but can't do. And until there's some kind of crazy change in your situation, you won't do it. That's hard. I mean, think about what you make. Think about whatever it is that you make. And, you know, in a snap of a finger, I'm going to take it away from you. And then a couple of months after I take it away from you, I'm going to put you around 900 people who didn't have it taken away from them. It's hard. It's hard. And it probably wouldn't be as hard if I didn't put so much energy and attention into it and so much love into everything I made and so much effort and, you know, crazy sleepless nights figuring out how I was going to order supplies and get them on time to hit the deadlines that I promised customers for delivery. And, you know, even now it's October 16th as I'm recording this. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what am I going to do for Christmas? I can't offer anything to a customer for Christmas, I feel like. I know that's not 100% true, but the things that people have come to expect from me, want from me, and the things that people have ordered from me over the years, can't offer any of them. I don't have the ability. This is not, by the way, this is not me just giving up and like not trying to find a way to do the things. I don't have the ability to do this. I don't have a place. I don't have my tools. I don't have access to space. Even if I made something, where in God's name would I put it? Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to glue up 5 cutting boards and do what with them? I couldn't do 5 cutting boards. I couldn't even do 1. This is not me trying to bitch. I'm just... made Maker Camp, like, it was great to hang out with, you know, it was great to hang out with everyone I hung out with. Thank God I got to hang out with some people I love, because if I didn't, there would be nothing, you know, I would have taken nothing away from Maker Camp. As it is, the only thing I took away is that the relationships and the friendships are all I have left of the community that I was an active part of. Is that such a bad thing? I mean, relationships and friendships are amazing. I am very lucky to have the people in my life that I do. I am very lucky that I no longer have the people who have found their way out of my life, because the people that are still in it have done nothing but make my life better. They've stepped up when I needed help, and help is something I seem to need a lot lately. I feel like everyone's got my back, and I appreciate that so, so much. So if the only thing I get out of the Maker community is that people feel bad and I'm like a legacy grandfathered in member of the making community who doesn't actually make anything anymore, I just talk about making and talk to makers. And maybe if that's my role in the community now and everyone else is okay with it, then maybe I just need to shut up and take it. Maybe that's my new role. That's what I do for the Maker community now. I don't make anything anymore. I talk about making. Maybe all the times that I thought about the Maker philosophers in our community and thought about them as just people who just had no ambition and no drive to get out to their shop and make stuff. Maybe I'm one of them now. The only difference is I don't have the option of going out to my shop and making stuff. And before you say it, and every time I say this, somebody says this, and I promise you, just don't say it. Do not bring up makerspaces, libraries, renting a space with somebody, all these same things. Trust me, you're not original. I've had the thought. There are no maker spaces around here. There's no way I'm going to be able to rent a shop space. I can barely afford my apartment every month. And there's no way I can co-rent with somebody, because I would never be able to hold up my end of the deal. Okay? So I've had these thoughts. I've tried. Believe me, I know someone who lives in this area who cannot find shop space anywhere. And that person has told me on many occasions that they're going to stay in their basement as long as they can because there is nothing here to rent for a reasonable amount of money. So it's not like I can just move all my stuff into a space or go use a makerspace. You know, a makerspace. Everyone has a makerspace. Just like when everyone goes on Facebook Marketplace, they find 30-year-old lathes that are in mint condition with all the equipment for $400. You know, everyone has that. You need tools? You go on Facebook Marketplace. It's all, what's wrong with you? Why did you not think to go there? It's not bitter. I'm not bitter about that. But it's weird because when I tell people I lost my shop, they're like, oh, can you go to a makerspace? Wow, why didn't I think of going to the makerspace and joining and paying and doing it there? Why didn't I think of that? That was so helpful. Thank you. Thank you. I know people are just trying to be helpful, but I mean, there are no makerspaces. There isn't one. There's no makerspaces. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's no maker spaces, and you can't get any good tools on Facebook Marketplace here. I had a guy a couple of years ago. It was very, very funny. He put an impact driver, a DeWalt impact driver, the same one I own actually, put it on Facebook Marketplace, suspiciously used, but you know, and he wanted, you know, $125 for it, which was completely ridiculous. And he goes, you know, brand new DeWalt drill. Don't try to get over on me. I know what I got. And I'm like, you don't even know that you have an impact driver. But yeah, that's what Facebook Marketplace is like in the New York metro area. It's a lot of garbage. This isn't rural Texas where people are trying to sell all the stuff that they found in Pappy's barn when they inherited it. Trust me, it's not that way here. Anyway, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. I've been thinking about, I'm not even joking, I've been thinking about this since I got home from Maker Camp. You know, the only thing that tempers these horrible feelings that I had and all the emotions that I didn't want to dredge up that I ended up dredging up anyway, the only thing that tempered it was seeing the people there. And it really, I mean, look, there are some awesome people in this community. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, Ed, Dave, and Grant, and Earl, and of course, my wingman, Big Al Schultz, my best man, you know, seeing Jimmy and getting a hug from Jimmy and seeing Pat Lapp and getting a big hug from him. And, you know, all the people that I saw, it was so nice. Like, you know, when people see you and recognize you, it's still, you know, I'm still looking forward to that day because Kathy couldn't make it to Maker Camp, but I'm still looking forward to that day where I can go to an event like this with the woman I love, and she gets to see me get recognized by a bunch of people and get to see people come over to me. Like, I'm looking forward to that. I was looking forward to it this year. She wasn't feeling well, so I'll have to look forward to it next year. But I don't know. I don't know how I get over this. And this is weird because I don't want to come off as whiny. I'm trying not to whine about this. Like, I'm genuinely stuck on these feelings. You know, this past weekend, I finished Kathy's birthday present, which she will get in 4 days as you're listening to this. And I'm very excited to give it to her. She's going to freak out. And when I've showed it to people, they freaked out. Like, people that aren't even getting it have freaked out over it. So I know it's good. Like, I think it's one of the best things I've ever made. Could I make a lot more of them? Maybe, if there was a demand for it. Could I turn that into a business? Maybe, if that was a demand for it. I will say I spoke to the person who inspired me to do it to begin with, and that person told me that they had to stop because the materials for doing it got too expensive, and it just wasn't financially feasible to charge what you'd need to charge to keep making them. Scary, right? Like, so here's this thing in front of me where I'm like, oh, I can actually do this for people, but I probably can't do it for people. Like, it wouldn't be financially feasible to do it for people. So even that little bit of making is probably not realistic. You know, I have a bunch of stuff that I've made that I'm doing a big shop update, and I'm just collecting a whole bunch of things and a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to do a big shop update. I'm going to probably wait till after Halloween to do it and, you know, make a big push to clear out my inventory for the holidays. And I think that's going to make me feel a little bit better. But I don't feel like a maker anymore. I really don't. Like, I'm thinking about that, and that's going to be cool. But then at the same time, I'm thinking like, okay, but I'm hoping that the graphic design consulting, the brand consulting, the IT consulting, I'm hoping that all works out, because that's what's going to make me the actual money. And honestly, that is kind of working out. That the more I do of that, the more I'm realizing like, hey, maybe that's your next path. It's not being a woodworker or a jewelry maker or, you know, 3D print guy. Maybe that's my thing. I don't know. Maybe my thing is to be an IT consultant. Maybe my thing is to do brand consulting for people. Maybe my thing is to help makers, you know, help them with their branding. I mean, hey, I may not have a successful business anymore, but if I've done one thing pretty well, it's I've come up with two pretty good brands. One, it's got a little something coming. I'm not going to tell you what, but I don't know. I mean, I would love to know what your feedback is, what you think. What would you do in my situation? Because I really don't want to feel this way again. Like, I don't need the reminder that the thing I love was taken away from me. The thing I love to do was taken away from me. I don't need that reminder. And I do still want to obviously hang out with the people I hung out with at Maker Camp, because that's why most of us go to Maker Camp anyways, to hang out with people. So I'm not trying to get out of going to Maker Camp. I'm not trying to justify not going to Maker Camp. That's not what I'm in here for. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know how to cope with these emotions I'm feeling. You know, it's very funny. I was sitting there tonight before I recorded this. I was sitting there going, man, I wish I was still going to my therapist. And then in the back of my mind, it was, yeah, you can't afford your therapist anymore. And if that isn't the most typical representation of my life in 2023, I don't know what is. I need therapy and I can't afford it. God. Oh, I'm a mess, everybody. I'm a mess. But you know what keeps me together? What helps me keep it together? Aside from the friendships and the relationships and the people I love in this community, it's the people that support this show financially, because, oh baby, do I need it. And those people include Best Man Al Schultz from New York Woodworks, Scott Orm of Dad It Yourself DIY, Ed Swanson of Ed's Clocks and More, Nick Birchtold of Birchtold Design Build. By the way, except for Scott on that first four, every one of those people was at Maker Camp. It was great seeing all of you. Tori Decker of Tori Did It, Jake Drews of Make With Jake, Megan Chris from Onyx Designs Woodwork, Christian Neary of Warren Works, Ken Madden of Mad K Studios, David Wood of DW Wood Builds, Dean Duplantis, Chris Raley of Route 9 Signs, Jeff Stein, a.k.a. A Weird Guy, Kim and Garrett Make It, Rory Langefeld of RLO Woodworks and DIY, Robert J. Keller, Brian Arsenault of The Seven Hills Maker, Dave Bauer of Dave Bauer Art, Donald LeBlanc of Fun With Woodworking, Ross Cave, Jeremy Spies, Grant Alexander of The Clamp Podcast, Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, Billy Poulton of Poulton Projects, Eric Peterson of Overall Maker Works, and Earl Van Alstein. Thank you so much to everyone that supports the show financially. Obviously, I could do the show without you. but I wouldn't want to because it wouldn't be as rewarding as it is to do it for the people who love this show that much. So thank you so much for your financial support. Trust me, it goes to a good place. And sometimes that good place is paying for groceries. I'm not going to lie. I would love to tell you I invest every dime back into the podcast. And I will say I invest a lot of it back into the podcast. But sometimes it's groceries. And I appreciate that just as much as I appreciate the help keeping the podcast going. So thank you. Thank you for everything. If you can't support the show financially, of course I understand. Feel free to leave a comment. Leave a comment on the YouTube video. That always helps. Watch the videos on YouTube. Get those watch hours up for me. I see you guys doing that. That is awesome, and I appreciate it so much. Share the show. Whatever you can do to help spread the word about the podcast, I really, really appreciate it. So financial support is obviously helpful, but so is all the other things you do to help people maybe find the show that don't already know about it. So I appreciate all of you and all of that. With that, I think I'm going to close out the show. I really am serious, though. I really am serious. Just, I want to clarify one last time. I had a great time at Maker Camp, in spite of the negative feelings I left with. The negative feelings were not due to the people I met, spent time with, or saw. It's my own internal struggles that I am working through. And the only reason I did this episode was because I legitimately don't know how to handle them. And I figured somebody that listens / watches this will have a good answer for that question. So I'm really hoping for some great actionable feedback from this episode, because I could really, really use it. Obviously, you can find the show on YouTube and Spotify and all the podcast platforms as you normally do. And if you want to chat with us in the show notes, you can find the link to the Discord, which is where the chat happens. And sometimes there's a little sneak peek of something that's coming in the next episode. Sometimes you get to see Kathy's birthday present before Kathy gets to see Kathy's birthday present, which the people in the group did, which was really, really cool. But yeah, that's a fun place, and we all hang out and we do cool stuff. Soon, and I don't know, I have to work out the logistics of it, but soon I want to start doing some live streams. Maybe solo episodes. I'll do lives instead of just solo like this. Do live with a chat and we can chat. Maybe when I have a guest on, we'll stream it into the Discord. I'm working all this stuff out. Just the logistics of it, because I know it can be done. I'm actually recording this because since it's solo, I don't need to use Zencaster. So I'm using OBS to record this right now. So I know how to do this stuff. I just don't want it to be a big production. I want it to be as easy as turn it on, click a couple of things, and off we go. And if I can make that happen, then that's what we're going to make happen. I think that's the next step for the podcast, is to do some live streams, even if I do like one a week. Just a fun live stream, or maybe the show, depending, you know, what the schedule looks like. That's where my head's at. Now you know where my head's at. And, you know, what a weird, dark, crazy place it is at times. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back again next week. I'm pretty sure I have a guest lined up. I kind of insinuated to her that she's going to be my guest next week, and she hasn't said yes yet, but she will say yes, I'm pretty sure. And when she comes on, if she's my next guest, I will point it out at the beginning and we'll all get a good laugh out of it. So if you want a good laugh, tune in next time. Until then, have a great week, everybody, and I'll chat with you then.